Justice League trailer drops Saturday. Wonder Woman gets a rating. And who the hell are these people on the show with me today on DC Movie News?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Anything you want to roll with.
It's the DC Movie News.
That's right.
With the DC Movie Crew.
Musical episode.
It's the program that you choose.
Like the Flash.
For your DC Movie News.
Hello and welcome. I am here with you. I look around and I don't know who is here and who is who, but it's DC Movie News.
Wow. That's right. That was a little extra player. Hey, that's Rob. Welcome to the all-new, all-different, all-musical episode of DC Movie News. Here with a crew that you may or may not recognize. Some people you might recognize. He's been on the show before. He's a host. He's a musician. He's a restaurateur. He's a father. He's a fan of DC Movie News. He's Bobby Bognar.
Hello. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it, buddy.
Also, actress, cosplayer, now frequent member of the DC Movie News crew, would say, like, she's definitely moving up the ranks to a more regular position. The lovely, the gorgeous, the Wonder Woman topped, black skirted, bottomed, Alana Jordan. Hello and welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me back.
Finally, we have joining us DC Movie News virgin, literally flew in just for this. He knows Johnny LaQuasto. He has a podcast called, what is it called?
The Screen Watchers Guild.
The Screen Watchers Guild. Check him out. Paul Ponte.
How's it going, guys?
Woo,
welcome. Talk about DC.
Hello.
Wow, you're like a newer, differenter, hairier Johnny.
Yeah.
Exactly. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for gathering. Roxy Stryer is in Barcelona. Mike Kalinowski.
Barcelona.
What's that?
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Exactly. You have to say it like this. And I told her to bring me back some of the pimenton. The smoked paprika.
Yes.
Oh, so good. I actually was in Spain a couple years ago. I'm out of the paprika, though. It didn't last. Mike Kalinowski is doing some kind of acting thing. Johnny, do you know where Johnny is?
Is he doing comedy right now?
He's doing comedy somewhere.
Probably saving lives.
Saving lives, doing comedy
making
on
people
the road.
Laugh.
So they're all fine. Find them at Mike Kalinowski, at Jake Quasto, at Roxy Stryer. Wish them love. We'll try to get through this without not a ton of news this week, but right off the bat, something pretty exciting. This is one of those days when you get up on a Thursday and you're like, what are we going to talk about? Oh my God, thank God. First I see Justice League trailer. Turns out it was just a tease to a trailer that's coming Saturday.
A trailer of a trailer, huh?
Which is what
yes.
we do these days.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
Was Prometheus like the first time you can remember that happening?
Yeah,
wow.
I can't remember before Prometheus.
I remember Prometheus. What a huge deal it was. You saw a little bit of that trailer. And
then
now
it became like the promo photos that was a photo of the teaser of the pre-trailer.
Ooh, well, let's tease this. Let's take a look if we can. We have some posters that were released today. A couple of pretty cool Justice League posters. And then you have these teasers, and I guess we're going to get individual teasers, but the first one we saw this morning was featured Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one a little bit later that had the Batman.
The Batman, yes.
The Batman.
With a brighter bat signal on his chest.
Oh, good notice, good eye. So now, but this is still the more standard costume. This isn't the second costume with the goggles, right? So is that just the Batman? And then here's the JL, which is awesome.
Yes.
Looks great. What do you guys think of these posters?
I'm excited.
Yeah, everything about the look of this is right on so far. Nothing is striking me off.
And we'll take a look at the teasers. As soon as you're ready, just let me know when we're ready to take a look at the teasers. Let's look at the whichever one first. Again, these are just like little 15-seconders. You ready? Okay, so let's jump right in.
That was awesome.
You shall not pass.
Sticking with the icky thump.
Love it.
Yeah,
rock and roll, baby.
As a musician, how do you like the white stripes pulling it out?
Yeah, well, especially Icky Thump. That's just like one of the top 10 greatest rockers of all time.
It
just pulls it out and brings you right into the movie.
Is that in that weird solo part? Is it like a bag? Is it what is it?
Bagpipe?
Is it bagpipe?
It sounds like it.
It's
it
like electric be. Bagpipe or something, right? Crazy. And then we have one with Batman with a really sick shot from underneath, like, right?
So good.
I know it. I know. So, I know Paul's a fan because I just like I was like, ooh,
yeah.
That was the one shot of the day that gave me a fail. So whenever we're ready, we're gonna take a look at. Oh boy.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh. There it is. Yeah.
I'm not too crazy about the opening shot of Bruce Wayne.
What, just because he looks miserable?
No, because he like looks to the side, almost like a comedic effect. I don't know, it seems weird.
I don't know, it didn't seem comedic to me. It just seemed like... Coming soon. Bummer.
I will say, when we saw that first little trailer from like last year, I liked Bruce Wayne already like more in those couple of seconds I saw than I liked him in all of Batman v Superman. So I'm still optimistic there. I gotta say, I'm still nervous like with all the news recently. Like, how long is he gonna be Batman? Because we all like him as Batman.
I, like a crazy person, I was pausing every second of that thing. And when he's shooting at the Batmobile, it looks like it's a parademon flying at him.
Oh.
So
that's good.
Point
that's,
that out. That's nice.
Break it down. It's yes. Riddler style.
He's saying,
"I'm
like,
not crazy. I swear."
Paul's here to say, "Hey, Johnny, my friend, how are you? I'm not going to take your job just because, like, I'm." Oh my god.
Well, I mean, what can we extrapolate from just seeing the Bruce Wayne shot in that? Instead of the other, we're seeing heroes, and the only alter ego we're seeing in any of them is Bruce. What does that tell us?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking, the characterization of Bruce is going to be up at the forefront of this show because. Batman v Superman ended with hopefully Bruce coming back to a status quo. He has hope. Every summation of the film so far says it's about reinvigorated with hope and everything. He's going around as Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Wayne is a cool freaking character. So I hope we see him going around doing what he's got to do. We saw that great interplay with
the Flash, and because there is so much buzz right now too, I think they're kind of like, hey. Don't forget, whatever happens, he's still Batman in this, so go see this.
Yeah.
Please.
It's funny because it's like sad, the recent stuff that happened with him, as far as like, oh, you found out you had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
But then as a half DC fan also, it's like, but that part of me is like, well, that's why he's not directing. It's not because he doesn't want to be Batman. He wants to be Batman. Like that's what I go to.
He just wants to be the best Batman possible.
But that undershot of him is just
amazing.
That's glorious. That's like straight out of a comic book. That's perfect. I mean, but every other DC movie, the trailers have these great moments in them. It just depends on if it lives up to that.
Do you guys think with all the reshuffling that's kind of happening and like, I mean, it's interesting because at this point, let me ask you, go down the line, what is officially the movie that goes into production after Aquaman? Officially.
I hope it's the Batman. I mean, I don't know that it could be, but fingers crossed, it's the Batman.
I think I would love for that to be the case, but I don't think it will be. I think that they're going to wait and they're going to take their time, which I think actually would probably be better. Well, I think Suicide Squad 2, honestly, they're...
Aren't they already in production?
But this was kind of my point. You're all giving me opinions. The fact is, the only one that's in production is Aquaman, and there is no official announcement about what the next one is. Now, we have a story that Warner Brothers wants another property in production this year. This kind of broke kind of like right after we finished our episode last week. And the idea was, which seems unlikely to me, that they wanted to get another movie in production in 2017, which... certainly makes sense. They should get another movie in production. Elena, do you know which films they're looking at right now on the short list to get into production after Aquaman starts?
It's looking like it's either going to be Gotham City Sirens, The Flash, Green Lantern, Suicide Squad 2, or Dark Universe.
It's not exactly a short list.
Doesn't it seem like the surest thing on that list is Suicide Squad 2? I mean, that seems like the one that they could bank on the most.
And I feel like that's one that they could easily, even though the reviews weren't super great for that one, they made so much money off of all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I feel like the priority is to make money, right? Mm-hmm. And so out of this list, Gotham City Sirens doesn't have that name recognition yet. The Flash has got the TV show and is doing really well, but I don't know if there's that theatrical draw that Suicide Squad 2 is going
to
get.
And yeah. You could bring Suicide Squad 2 down to a more street level, too, which is easier to film, easier to write for, yeah. as opposed to being like, this is the end of the world Flash movie. Let's try to get all the special effects and everything done in time.
To Paul's point, I would put my money on, like, the Sirens or the Suicide Squad 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like Matt Reeves is going to go into production in 2018, fairly early in 2018, like after he finishes all the press and post-production for the Apes movie, which opens in the summer, then they probably go right into pre-pro on his Batman movie, and then for an 18, you know, to start on that. So I don't think that'll be next. Flash seems unlikely because they still, just because of all the stumbles, but I guess if they're going to keep a script, potentially. But, you know, who knows where that project is right now. Like, so that's why I'm hoping we're going to get some news as to what's going on with DC. Now, it's no coincidence. Is WonderCon happening this weekend?
WonderCon is next weekend.
Okay, so we're actually getting the Flash trailer a week before WonderCon.
Uh-huh.
So there's also an announcement that DC is going to have some new footage at WonderCon. It's presumed it's going to be Justice League.
Justice League is what everybody is assuming, which I'm going to be there, so...
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm going.
Excellent. Are you going to check it out? Are you going to go to the Warner Brothers thing?
And see what it is, so...
Excellent.
You think it'll be another behind-the-scenes thing?
I mean, they just said that, you know, that they're going to be promoting Justice League at CinemaCon later this month. So since they're going to be at WonderCon,
yeah.
people are just kind of assuming that that means that they are going to release some footage. But it just says get a sneak peek at upcoming films from Warner Brothers, New Line, and DC Entertainment with special guest TBA. Mm.
I would be surprised if you don't get, like, a scene from Justice League. Yeah. Something we haven't seen.
So.
You know? Give us a cyborg scene. Give us some cyborg meat. Get us excited for him, I say.
Well, if you need to get me excited about anything, it's cyborg. That's the thing that I'm least excited about. Although I'm sure it'll be interesting and good. But yeah, if that's what... If you think you want to cash in on what you know is going to be good, then Superman, Batman, right? Wonder Woman's already getting so much press because of her film. But yeah, maybe beef up the Flash and Cyborg characters in whatever the sneak footage is.
Is it possible that because Cyborg requires, you know, a lot of post-production and a lot of effects, that maybe that's why we've seen a little bit less, or we didn't see a lot in that first trailer?
That would make sense.
I mean, that's really all we've seen.
But also the recognition, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, you're going to kind of highlight the characters that you know people recognize right off the bat, that, you know, the true fans are going to come to see Cyborg, but if you just ask somebody off the street, they're going to go, what?
Yeah. Hmm. So you think most likely if they show a scene, it'll probably be a Batman scene.
I feel like because it's WonderCon and because it's a con that they're really playing to the fans, so I could see a little bit more Cyborg potentially for this one because they know that that would get the fans amped up here.
But anything they do at WonderCon is going to go out onto the net immediately and try. I mean, true. It's really part of a bigger marketing plan.
But they want to show the fans cheering. So if we show this character that may not be as recognizable to the general public, but this is a huge room of people going, yes, we finally get to see this. Then people go, oh, well, it's the same mentality as if you see a long line. People go and stand in the line and go, what are we in line for?
Soul Asylum said, nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd.
Yeah.
So
it would make sense that that would be where they would release a little bit more footage of a character that we as diehard fans would be in the room.
We're getting some comments in the chat room about the Cyborg movie. This is a film that hasn't been mentioned in a while. I would be shocked to find that Cyborg is still on the slate as a Cyborg film.
I wouldn't be surprised if... not until they at least introduce him. They're not going to hype him up until they do that. Which is why I wouldn't be surprised if the scene that they show at WonderCon is that rooftop scene we heard about that they did a set visit for.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because it has all of them up on the roof. It has Gordon. It has everyone there. They're not going to give anything away because they've already mentioned that scene out into the public.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Ponte. That's why we bring him in. New and strong.
I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised. I could be completely wrong.
No, you can't be completely wrong. Otherwise, you will be crucified by the internet. cannot be wrong.
This is going on the internet.
So it's pretty interesting. I think, you know, the biggest problem with shared universes post-Marvel was announced, you know, and all the studios are doing this. I'm not just blaming Warner Brothers. You could blame Fox for this. You could blame Universal. Is announcing so much stuff up before the demand is created. Mm-hmm. Like saying, oh, we're going to have all this supply and not naturally creating the demand. So it's like, yes, us fans are in love with the characters from their incarnations that we know. But you haven't made moviegoers who are not familiar with all these characters crave this and demand more. And that seems to have been the biggest problem with knowing which way to proceed, because they didn't really know what people were craving.
Yeah, they just, like, in BVS, it's just like, let's throw parademons in there. And me and you and all of us are like, ah! And then, but the regular person's like, what was the goggle thing with wings?
Right.
What happened?
Right. Why?
It's, yeah, it's a lot of allusions to things and less fully conceived plot points, really. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's potentially getting better, I hope, considering they're taking the time to really make sure that they assemble teams for these movies now.
Well, that's what gets me nervous.
To circle back on what we were talking about before, now, assuming, and chat role, I'm very curious to hear what you guys have to say about this, as in everything else, especially Skye Patterson. What do you think it's likely that even if they do get, say, the most street-level film into production in 2017, how does that come out in 2018 when you've just moved Aquaman to December? So conceivably, even if you start doing, you know, you go into production in July, right? And then you release the film. I mean, like, so like 14 months would be August or October. So that would be very close to another film. Do you think that's possible? That they could turn around a film in 14 months like that?
I mean, it's possible. How good will the film be?
Yeah.
Well, and that seems...
It's possible, but maybe not advisable.
Yeah. Not advisable. And that seems contrary to the idea that, presumably, the reason they've taken time is now they want to... You know, they brought in a new, you know, head of the studio. Mm-hmm. And that they're trying to, you know, start fresh. So it seems like it would be counterintuitive. And yet...
Well, do you trust your ship's captain, or do you not trust your ship's captain?
I need to know the name of the captain first. Yeah. I'm not sure I know who the captain is. Which that's the problem is, like, with Marvel, everybody knows who the captain is. Here, we're like, oh, well, he's got some authority, and he's got serious story input, but we brought this new, you know, like, the difference is Marvel Studios' only job is to make Marvel films. Mm-hmm. This is not like, oh, this is Marvel Studios' Academy Award consideration this year. They only do one thing. This is Warner Brothers that does everything, and this is a leg of Warner Brothers. A lot of fans have suggested, like, why didn't they start DC Movie Studios? And at first I was like, oh, why would you do that? You're already Warner Brothers. But now I kind of think that's not a terrible idea.
Well, that's what makes me laugh, like those think pieces where people are like, oh, they should fire the head of Warner Brothers because people didn't like Suicide Squad. And I'm like, so he doesn't get any credit for the Harry Potter or Lego, anything like that.
Well, just that, so you know, he got credit for the $750 million it did.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, that's really bottom line, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, even the fact, I give Warner Brothers credit for acknowledging that things need to be changed while things are making money. Which is what Sony did so well with Spider-Man. Like, now, you know, Spider-Man, like, Amazing Spider-Man 2 still made, like, made Suicide Squad money. But it was still a downward trajectory, and they're thinking long-term. So you got to give them credit for at least trying to change it and not Transformers-ing it. So
you're Transformers-ing. That kind of goes back to the whole new internet generation of fans directly being able to say their input and be able to say, this is what we want. So now they're able to really garner to people who are saying... I will give you money if you do this.
Right.
Please do this.
And yet, the slippery slope there is, if you give me exactly what I asked for, where's the surprise? Where's the fun?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you have a team, which I think it would be a great idea to have a separate division that's just DC movies, because then you would have a team that has an overarching idea that all of these things would fit under. And so everything would be its own individual movie, but would also fit within the universe. And I feel like right now Warner Brothers is just going, okay, well, you know, cinematically we saw a lot in Wonder Woman that even looked like Harry Potter. You know? And you're like, okay, we get it. Like, you do very good movies, but we also want to make sure that these films make sense in our universe, not just the Warner Brothers universe.
And that's why this news is worrying to me, because that's the line we got was... Listen, David Ayer only got 6 weeks to write Suicide Squad.
Right.
So sorry it turned out like that, but things are going to be different. And then now they're like, but now we need to pump out another one before the next. And I'm like, wait, what happened?
I'd like to take from that story that they want to get another movie in production in 2017. Don't let that mean that you need to get a second one out in 2018.
I mean, they probably have a stack of scripts, to be fair. They probably got like a billion different writers in Hollywood that have just given them like, here's three different Suicide Squad sequels.
But, you know, I heard Bob Iger was reading the quotes from him today. This guy who they can't get rid of. Disney won't let him go. He extended his tenure a year because he's making money on all fronts. Disney oversees Pixar, Star Wars. Marvel, Star Wars. So they were talking about how, we set out, we acquired Lucasfilm. We plan out, you know, 7, 8, and 9 episodes for Star Wars. Now we're discussing the next 15 years. That's how you have to talk about it. You have to plot out story if you're going to really do it like that for 15 years. The problem is Star Wars, you know what it is, essentially. You know the secret sauce that is Star Wars. Now, how can you make stories for 15 years that apply to that? I don't know that DC Films knows what that secret sauce is yet.
Well, I feel like what Star Trek did was, because I have a friend who wrote for it, they would, every writer would be given the Star Trek Bible. And it was, whatever you write has to fit in this universe. This is what makes sense in our universe. This is what we're adhering to. This is the version of this that we have. Mm-hmm. Make sure it fits. If it doesn't, you're out.
Right.
And I feel like if DC would start crafting things that was almost like, here's a Bible, maybe not as specific as that, but make sure this fits in here. Don't do weird ass stuff that people are going to be like, what are you doing?
Like the Vince McMahon notes for the WWE.
What is that?
Johnny.
Oh!
Vince McMahon has these notes where he's like, any story person, you cannot let a character do this. You cannot let a character do this. You cannot let it. And everybody has to write to those guidelines.
So do you think that's why they have trouble keeping directors on these big projects sometimes? Because, like, you know, you look at the James Bond world where, you know, in the last 15 years, you know, directors have been given creative license to kind of spread their wings a little bit. And I think we started seeing that in some of the Marvel stuff. But do you think that they're being confined too much? That's the trade-off.
I think it's a little bit of both. The problem is because they don't know what the secret recipe is yet, it's this and that. Like, if I know what it has to be, then I know exactly how much freedom to give you or to not give you. And then I think the problem is that they're bringing in these creators saying, like, oh, we want you to make your movie, and then their overall plan is still being formed, and then it doesn't jive with what that director wanted to originally do. That's the only way I can account for losing, you know, Fukuyama and any of the other directors that we've lost.
Maybe that's why they got Matt Reeves, because they learned from all those other directors, and when Matt Reeves said, I want to start the story from scratch, they went, all right, fine.
Yes, well, exactly, and that's why I think he was in and out and out, and that's also what I think that kind of happened with James Wan. I'm really interested to see how James Wan's story straddles sort of the before and after. Like, it's going to be interesting. I'm very hopeful, but cautiously optimistic for both Wonder Woman and Justice League, because they were all from that initial fart of movies, right? It was BVS right into Justice League, right into Wonder Woman.
Well, if I was James Wan, I would just have Momoa there. And then when they come, and he's like, these guys got notes for me. And Momoa will be like, you got notes for me?
Yeah.
It's like, I got to
watch me throw an axe real quick.
I don't know. You can kind of swim next to Momoa. Like, you look like you could be one of his homies.
Maybe for about a second before he immediately jets ahead of me.
You'd be like, all right, Arthur, I'm going to do recon. I'll catch up with you.
Be on the beach with a margarita.
I'm like Momoa after a really bad knee surgery. And he's been, like, on the couch for a couple of years.
Oh, by the way, anybody is welcome to bust into song at any time during this, okay? I didn't mean to, you know, to stop you.
This is the musical episode.
Yeah, this is the musical episode, so please.
Flash just cannot have all of the glory. We will burgle some as well.
That's right. Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
The Glory Burglars.
That's our band name.
Right.
What is it? What are we?
The Glory Burglars.
We are the Glory Burglars, bringing you DC movie news. So Logan was a huge hit, and it was rated R, and Deadpool was a big rated R hit,
But they were both good. They were both really good.
They were both really good.
They were really good.
This is all to let you know that Wonder Woman has received its official MPAA rating, and it will be rated PG-13.
That couldn't have come as a shock to anyone.
No. Surprising no one, ever.
Yeah.
No, especially, I mean, if this is going to be a little girl icon, you don't want a rated R movie.
Yeah. No, they're hoping this is going to be a real four-quadrant film. I've said for a while, I think that Wonder Woman, because, you know, this is the one character that, is, you know, you're going to have, like, your dudes excited about it, too. Like, the girls here are already like, yeah, we know Wonder Woman. But you're going to get more guys wearing those Wonder Woman shirts. In fact, when you're done with that one, could wait till after. We'll absolutely switch. So no surprises.
We shouldn't save that for off camera.
You're right. Actually, if we want to get some more views, that's what we need to do.
Well, every time that trailer plays in the theater, there's like a buzz you can feel from the Wonder Woman trailer in every theater I've gone to. Like,
and because more it than, looks amazing.
Yeah, people are really into it. And, you know, but then again, the rated R thing, that doesn't really affect anything because I saw Logan twice in theaters.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say there was each time there was at least a kid who was like 8.
Yeah.
which I just looked at their parent like, please, no.
My parents definitely took me to those movies once it got to be like, they were weighing like the morality of hiding stuff from me versus like paying for a babysitter. And I think every time they're like, whatever. So I thank my mom and dad. I got to see so many rated R movies as a child.
You know, but that violence in Logan was horror movie level. I mean, that was legit.
It's intense.
Slowing it down.
Excruciating.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw it twice in the theater. I saw it 3 times, actually. What am I saying? Yeah.
But that's a character that lends itself to that violence. We've been waiting for that violence for that character the whole time. If I, you know, an R-rated Wonder Woman that's rated R for violence, would why would that exist, you know?
Stop, Diana, please.
Oh, that's right.
There are people in the chat who are saying DC needs to be rated R, but I don't think that Wonder Woman is the one that should be R-rated, especially because this is kind of, you know, for this generation, the debut for this character. Like, she's kind of right out of the gate for this one.
Almost all generations, movie-wise, so.
Yeah,
but in 10 years, you could see a Batman R-rated movie, for sure.
You think so?
You could see a Joker R-rated movie.
I think you could see a Logan-style Bruce Wayne movie.
For sure.
I don't know if they would ever... I'd be really surprised if any of those big, big marquee characters go rated R. I don't know that they need to be. I think maybe Lobo.
R-rated animated.
Lobo. What's that?
Since we're already seeing R-rated animated, I feel like it's a natural progression that maybe not immediately, but... I think maybe in the course of like 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible, but I mean, you're right. I mean, they did just do it with that anime, but still, that's still a smaller release, and it was
more niche.
Theaters
than...
one night, but only because of that Fathom event. It wasn't like that. It was a wide release. That just, I mean, you could do it with Lobo. I could see you do it with like Dark Justice characters. I could see doing a real like Swamp Thing kind of thing, perhaps.
Wait, you like Swamp Thing?
I do love Swamp Thing. I'm alone.
Do you think they would do the Dark Universe?
In my swamp. Yeah.
People are saying that Suicide Squad 2 should be rated R.
Suicide Squad 2 is going to be an R-rated musical, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think that there's any way Suicide Squad would be rated R because of the merchandise. Because they're going for that younger audience. They want people to buy toys. They want people to go to Hot Topic. They want people to buy all of the limited edition bobbleheads.
I'm curious to see Hot Topic's profit share before and after the release of Suicide Squad merchandise.
They make a lot of money off the merch, even if the movie doesn't do as well. I feel like there's no way they would do an R rating for that reason.
I'm sorry. The Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
Right. I apologize.
Proper due.
Which makes me think, I didn't write this down on the list, but David Goyer, someone back me up on this, didn't it just come out that he was writing and possibly directing the Green Lantern Corps film?
Yeah. I looked up his biography, and I had seen a couple of things he'd done, but nothing huge. I think
as far as directing.
Yeah, directing.
But writing,
written everything.
Yeah.
So I would be kind of surprised if he's the final, if they gave him writing and directing, you know? You know, you've already got your foot in the door as the writer. You've probably got a leg up over some other guys. But he wouldn't be my first choice.
What do you think of that, given how last Green Lantern was?
Oh, yeah. Well, the problem is David Goyer's best work is always writing with someone else.
Yeah.
It's always like writing with Christopher Nolan or something like that. So I don't really know which ideas are his and which ones are, you know, the other person.
If he's taking ideas and fleshing them out, maybe.
Yeah. And I just think... with movies like this, if you're going to take a chance, it's you take a chance on an indie filmmaker who's like, you know, like a Colin Trevorrow, like they did with that, as opposed to someone who's like, I'm a writer, not really a director, but I'm going to do it, I guess.
Here's the thing. This is a thing where I think studio matters. Like, I would be curious to know what really happened with that DC Green Lantern film, because you have Greg Berlanti, who wrote it, I think, and Martin Campbell directed it, who had just directed the best James Bond film I've ever seen. The only one I really cared about. I've never been a big James Bond fan because I grew up in like the Roger Moore era, and the Sean Connery ones were like old movies when I was a kid. But like, you know, then comes this Casino Royale. So like, you have Berlanti, who I think he kind of knows DC. You would say. I mean, he literally has 9 shows on the air. So do you think that was like the studio, and are they just in a different place because it's like 10 years later?
They might not have known what to do with it then. I mean, think of how far it's come since then. You know, that was a rough one. But there was there was undeniable talent involved, but sometimes that's just not enough.
Peter Dew says Goyer was attached to direct the Green Arrow Supermax movie, which If you've never heard, do you know what that concept was?
Is that the prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What a bug nutty concept. If they would have introduced a character that you've never seen before, but then like in this breakout film, first time Green Arrow's in a movie, they had him in prison in a breakout film. Like, what a freaking weird idea.
Yeah, but that's where I think you could really do well with a secondary character, you know? That wouldn't work for Green Lantern. You know, he's higher up on the thing. But, but if you pulled out that kind of thing with Green Arrow to get excitement about him, that it wouldn't cost as much as, you know, one of these huge, huge interstellar things. And you might get a little breakout. Think about that. You know, think about that smaller film with character. That's what Logan is, really.
Mm-hmm. That's what Deadpool is. It wasn't just that those films were rated R. It was that their budgets were lowered to lower expectations, which allowed studios to take a step back and allow... It's just that too many cooks thing. Sometimes it's just like too many ideas, and like you could have talented people that don't mix together and make like a super group necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're not always going to get the Traveling Wilburys every time out. You might get the Ringo Starr All-Star band. Yeah,
exactly. Talent for days, but you don't need to see them twice.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Give creative freedom, but make sure that it's focused.
Okay. Let's talk about... Okay, so here's another thing we kind of brought up last week. So the Matt Reeves news everybody's excited about. Pretty much unilaterally, I would say. But someone who's not sure about his future with this is Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
Joe Manganiello, who we saw in the test footage, looking like a badass Deathstroke... Matt Reeves going to take over, you know, not necessarily putting Deathstroke in his film.
Well, this is all based on that one interview clip, right?
Yeah. Did you see it?
I did see it, and I feel like we might be making mountains out of molehills. You know, it's like they might just be in transition. But the truth is that test footage and Joe, that's a pretty powerful combo, and I wouldn't be surprised if he just doesn't want to get too excited before it's all.
He didn't
down.
Say no. He no, just said, maybe we'll see.
What do you think? Yeah. I'm curious as to what you think's going to happen, because I have a pretty good idea.
I think he'll be Deathstroke.
Here.
Oh, you have a good idea.
Well, no. I just have an opinion. But you think he'll be Deathstroke in the Batman?
I do.
Okay. What do you think?
I think so.
In the Batman?
I think so.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
I think he'll either be it in the Batman, or if it comes out first, Suicide Squad 2.
See, I think the Nightwing thing seems like such a... Because it's like he's going against the father figure that is Deathstroke, sort of.
I guess.
But he could do that for sure, but and it wouldn't surprise me at all. But that... We're just extrapolating from that one little interview.
No,
and it wasn't like he was like... Well,
it sucks
going.
Because he was being a really good company guy, saying like, you know, everybody else is giving so much credence to rumors and what that, and we're starting, you know, we're starting filming now. I was wrong about that. We're starting filming a little later. And he's like, I don't know. And then like, I kind of feel bad for the guy because it makes him look like.
Well, it makes sense for him to not commit to one thing, saying one way or the other at this point for that reason. Like now he's being told it's being rewritten from scratch.
I probably got a heads up of like. Hey, we're not sure, but, you know, probably, maybe.
Right.
So
yeah, we're going to take care of you, just we're not sure how.
Which I hope.
Think, exactly. Which I hope. Think that's what's happening, and I think he honestly doesn't know what's happening in the Batman movie, especially if they're reconceiving it. And it may or may not have Deathstroke, but I think somebody at Warner Brothers was like, listen, you're at Deathstroke, because you know the guy passed up a lot of other jobs for this.
And they're probably saying, look at this list of all of these other movies that we have as well. This is all the same universe. We will put you in something, and you've been, you know, he's been a really big advocate for this film throughout all of the changes. So I feel like they're going to make sure that they take care of him.
And I hope it happens, because the second he got cast, the first thing I thought was, why hasn't he been snatched up by another franchise yet?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he's in this.
Yeah, he's one of these guys, like those couple of actors out there that just look like comic book characters. They have those impossible proportions, like Cavill, like Manganiello, who Manganiello was, he was a Superman contender at some point.
Well, Armie Hammer's been in the mix, you know?
Well, I still believe it's going to be...
Those teases by Henry Cavill?
I definitely think he's Green Lantern.
Come on. But you wonder why he hasn't already, you know? Why, you know, he seems like an easy one to snap up and put him in somewhere, you know?
You know, I'd like to believe maybe they're not going to announce Armie Hammer. I think they're going to announce him either at WonderCon, Comic-Con, or...
I think it'll be Comic-Con. I don't think WonderCon's big enough.
So, but then the question is, like, which kind of Lantern is going to show up in the Justice League movie? Because I know some Lantern is showing up there.
Yeah.
And is it going to be a human or is it going to be an Abin-Sur again? I don't know. But yeah, you got to think some kind of lantern, right, in Justice League?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll mention it at WonderCon purely because they don't want to put anything over Wonder Woman yet. I think they want to keep message right now. Yeah. Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, and then after that comes out, then they're like, "Hey, by the way, look who's the Green Lantern."
So I wouldn't be surprised if you get a Wonder Woman scene. Mm. You get, "Hey, you know, last week we released that trailer. Let's watch that Justice League trailer again at WonderCon, and then maybe another scene.
Mm.
Maybe and then I don't know about like announcement about what's the next film in production, because I would think that by Comic-Con." You would have that second film in production already. So maybe that could be announced.
Yeah. I don't think that they're going to announce it at WonderCon.
What the next film to go into production will be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very Wonder Woman heavy. Like, they even have those billboards of WonderCon with Wonder Woman on it.
Because it's called WonderCon. Pushing, yeah, and they're pushing the footage aspect of it.
You're right.
They wouldn't be pushing the footage aspect of it if it's an announcement of, we haven't shot a frame.
Right. You're right. Maybe Shazam, something.
Yes, Shazam, please. That's what I want so bad.
I never thought I'd be like, finding myself like, just now I'm begging for Shazam. What did you think about the Black Adam rumors that they're going to do a Black Adam
standalone? Solo? Yeah. Well, I would watch it, though. You know, The Rock is infinitely watchable. And I got to tell you, I thought Rock was going to be perfect as Shazam, really. You know, he could carry off that boyish thing and all that.
Yeah.
But I'll watch it. I'll watch a Black Adam standalone.
I've made the comment so many times in this very chat room.
Okay.
And Johnny loved the comment because it involves wrestling, of course.
Okay.
And,
okay.
It was John Cena.
Oh, yeah, I like this. Yeah.
John Cena as Shazam, The Rock as Black Adam.
Yeah.
And then they coincided with a WrestleMania release date.
Of course.
And they fight each other a couple weeks before it comes out. I mean, it's perfect.
It is kind of perfect.
Well, I'd watch it. I don't know if John Cena has the chops of The Rock yet.
But he's very funny in what he's been in.
Yeah.
He was really funny actually in Sisters, which is not a widely seen
movie. Was he in Sisters as well?
Yeah. He was in Sisters also.
Well, he was good in Trainwreck, right?
Yeah, he was.
But, yeah.
Jeff Dunn says, Captain Marvel. What are you talking about? Captain Marvel's Brie Larson. Captain Marvel is verboten in DC Universe. Well, we don't say it anymore.
Maybe he's talking about Shazam Captain Marvel.
Oh, I think he is. Okay. I just said, Jeff Dunn, you need to get up on the page. We say Shazam now. Have you guys been watching Justice League Action?
I have not, no.
That's been my goose fraba between any kind of like stress that the movies give you, because it's just unrelenting fun. It's a 15-minute show, so they only show it with no commercial break. And it's a self-contained story with Justice League, and it's very fun. It's like, I like it better than Brave and the Bold. It's a little less kiddie than Brave and the Bold, but they're using it to use a lot of villains and a lot of random characters. You almost always get like a Batman or a Superman in there, but then they'll give you like Dr. Fate was in the last one, and like this Mr. Magician. They were all like kids, but it turns out they're really under a spell. Spoilers. That show has been a lot of fun.
Now let's back it up about 30 seconds and define that German word for us.
Verboten?
No, you said verboten.
Verboten, yeah.
Oh, okay. I said
verboten.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that I know what that is.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's, you know, we don't say it. Yes, it's forbidden.
No. The other one you said after that. You said the Justice League is your...
Oh, Goose Fraba. Yeah, what's that? That's like the meditation thing that you say, like, Goose Fraba.
Oh, okay.
Like from Anger Management. Anger Management. Thank you very much. Anger Management. Jack Nicholson, Adam Sandler. Classic film. Classic film later made into a classic FX series with Charlie Sheen, which was picked up
for 100 episodes,
three of which aired. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Not a lot of news this week. Oh, Hans Zimmer. Talking, throwing some shade. Just, you know, Hans Zimmer said he's pretty much retired from making a superhero score. What was that? Did you hear
you see, but within that, there is light, and so there is hope, and you see, so there it is.
What was it? Ron, who's Opie? What's his name?
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard said to Hans Zimmer, like, don't say you're retired. Just say,
yeah, I got
he's had so many credits. It's like,
come on. Opie's the most recent that you think of. Goes back to Opie. Opie said to Hans, hey, don't like cut off, you know, all superhero films. Just wait for the next amazing script. And so Hans is like, I think I will do what Opie says. And there will only be next time it is amazing. And in this, he also said why he preferred Bale's Batman to Affleck's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really just the idea that it was the whole story and it really all came back to the origin and his pain. And then he was like, Affleck's Batman was just so angry and he didn't know why. He was just kind of grumpy.
Yeah. The interesting thing to to me about this was reading that Hans Zimmer has the luxury of choosing his projects on how he likes the lead character, you know? Yeah. And what a joy as an artist to be able to do that, number one, and then to find something that you're so excited about that you can do something as beautiful as he's done for these films. You know, Hans Zimmer's... I mean, I guess Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer, who else you got?
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I mean, both those did such iconic things, both with Batman, in such different ways. Yeah. You know, I you can't hum the Hans Zimmer stuff like you can the Elfman stuff, but it's so moody and it's so perfect. I will say, like, I know some people liked it, and in BVS I'm a little mixed on it, because sometimes with the Superman stuff, it's like every time Superman comes on, it's like, dun-dun. It's not...
I love that theme, though.
I really liked it in Man of Steel. But to me in BVS, it was just too much. It was like
I did watch an entire fan edit of Man of Steel using music from the original Superman movie.
Stop it. Does it change everything?
It's pretty crazy how it tonally changes almost every scene.
Of course. That's
like there's amazing. The scene where he's they're in the spaceship and he's talking to Hologram Dad.
Yeah,
and he's like, you know, you can save them. You can save all. And then right when it hits that, the music swells. And you're like, God. Okay, all right, well. I mean, I love the Man of Steel theme, but there's something in that old music. It's always in there.
Yeah. So it's true that John Williams' music is incredible. I mean, I was just thinking about like how whack would like when people were making their first Star Wars film, they thought they were making like such a schlocky B film, but that movie that music classes it up to a whole different like galaxy.
Yeah, best of all time, John Williams, man.
Literally,
best of all time.
Galaxy far
He's
away.
GOAT. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Unless you're Alec Guinness, in which case you're still like, it was trash.
Yeah.
To like his deathbed, he's like, trash. It's all trash.
He's like, I did Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I just thought Zimmer, it just seemed like such shade, the way that he was saying it, is like, Ron said, don't say never, just wait for good script. Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is, be better at your job,
pick it up,
writers.
Folks.
Well, listen.
Be as good as I am at music. If you could write that well, it'd be great.
Yeah, you know, I think he felt personally connected to that Batman trilogy and Nolan's vision, and there was no shared universe. And then when they started this new universe, it was kind of like Nolan said, oh, this is what I would do with Man of Steel. And then they kind of took it and then gave it to Zach to clone Nolan's idea because that had just worked for them, and then they tried to sort of like retroactively make Nolan's recipe work for the whole shared universe, and I don't think it works that way.
Yeah. Well, we're getting back to the too many cooks things, man. You know, it's like you want to get an auteur who has a vision and who can execute that vision, and when that right person can put together the music and the actors and the script, you've got it. That's the producer's job to get that right.
And that way, you know, Marvel had every advantage in that they had not a lot of their main characters, and there was nobody watching them when they were doing, and they can just start making their films that they started making when they started with, you know, Iron Man and then Captain America. Just like now it's like Warner Brothers already knows what's possible. So it's like they have every intention. That's why they keep announcing all these films, and we're like, we're trying to, we know it's there, but we just don't know how to get it. And it's like, listen, I mean, people keep announcing these shared universes. It's getting, like, annoying. Like, who's asking for it?
Right when they said, like, oh, we're still thinking about doing those two other Ghostbusters movies that are in the same universe. Jeez. And I'm like, wait.
Who's asking for it? Just because you have the property, who's asking for it? Like, this idea of, like, making a Venom movie without Spider-Man?
Right, I know.
Yeah, what?
I'm starting to think, like, Sony is like, they're like, yeah, look how great we're doing with Marvel. However, here's some more madness for you.
Here's the thing. These comic book movies seem to be most successful when you take the essence of what has been so successful for this enormous amount of time and you somehow distill that into really good story, really good character. You know, if you take Venom, you could make a great Venom movie, but you're taking away a lot of the essence of that character. So now it's just like you're rolling the dice. I don't know that it could be good. He's good because he is everything Peter Parker is, but the shadowy flip side, plus a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and he knows his whole family. It creates
terror.
It's
the foil between the two characters that creates the drama and creates the conflict and makes you involved. If you just have the standalone...
Then you just got a cool alien costume thing, which doesn't mean anything.
It's basically just like, look how cool you could look for Halloween if you buy the costume for this movie.
Yeah.
Which is why do it.
The movie in the Marvel Universe I'm looking the most forward to is Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, me too.
Because of Taika Waititi. because I seen what he did with his movie Boy. I saw what he did with Hunt for the Wilder People.
Boy?
I know, yeah, he has a movie called Boy, which is fantastic. It's on Netflix. Please watch it.
Oh, that's on Netflix?
Yeah. Okay. It's amazing. And I know that he treats characters with, like, love and respect. And so I'm imagining what he's going to do now. We already see from, like, the promo shots, Thor's not going to have a hammer or any of that. So it's going to be, like...
Haircut.
Yeah. You got a haircut. He doesn't have to wear a silly wig.
I'm excited because my single favorite character, like, my two favorite all-time characters are Batman and the Hulk. Like, I probably have more comics of those characters than anything. So the fact that we're going to get, like, lots of Hulk love in there is just awesome, too. I'm very excited about that movie. And that's coming right... That's going to be Justice League and Thor Ragnarok in the same month.
Yeah.
That's going to be the greatest November of all Novembers. Like,
a November Christmas to remember?
Early. If it no will one be, blinks.
It will, this wrestling guy, are you kidding me? Monte, listen, if there's no room, I might quit the show so you could stay on the show. You're awesome, dude. A November to remember. Venom is nothing without Spider-Man, says Zeno Hour. Yeah, it's like, I agree. It's just like... And again, it's just the idea that, like, these studios were like, here's what's coming, without creating the demand. It's like you want people to want and to envision what it's going to be. You're excited for Thor Ragnarok with Taika Waititi because of Marvel's track record. You know...
Mostly because of him. Because, like, the Thor movies aren't the ones I like in the series very much. But it's because of him I go, okay, I have a feeling this is going to be great.
Right, but he's never made an effects-driven $100 million movie before. But you know all that stuff's going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's what they do. They say, like, listen, we know we got that stuff. But we know that that doesn't mean anything without this.
Yeah.
It's got to be the character first. We got that other stuff. That stuff only works if... this stuff works first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's
which
just...
you have to recognize, otherwise you get a whole lot of flash and no substance.
Yes, yeah. I mean...
Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly, yeah.
Some kind of Suicide
you get
Squad.
That really right. Awesome posters.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I always go back, I say, like, if you had a great, like, I know I'm like a broken record, but I'm like, I go back to, like, Kill Bill. You know, which is a film because it's a film about a band of villains, even though it really follows one, but you've never met them before. There's no comic books with any of those people before, but he gives you just a little scene or just a little monologue that builds the legend of that character in the mind of the audience.
Yeah.
So that when you see this person on screen, you already heard about this insanely badass thing they've done, and then they exist for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean...
That's why it doesn't bother me too much to hear about secondary characters getting... their films with smaller budgets. I feel like, you know, a Venom movie or a Cyborg movie or something could be really good with a vision of how this character should go. You're kind of freed up a little bit. You don't have to get it right into this narrow thing that everyone's expecting from Bruce Wayne, you know, where people get upset when he kills.
That's...
You know, where there's more room for creation.
You're absolutely right. And I think, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is a great example for that.
Even,
like,
Iron Man's a great example of that, to be honest.
When
that first came out, I don't think anyone would be like, everyone's excited for that Iron Man movie.
Yeah, no expectations.
You guys better not dick up Iron Man.
Yeah. Especially when X-Men was in it, like, coming out. If someone told you, hey, they're going to be making an Iron Man movie soon, you'd be like, I don't care, X-Men's on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you know, and they did a lot. You know, you could look back at that first X-Men right now and, like, look at how dated it is. But it started in a Holocaust camp, and then it had Wolverine in a steel cage. You almost couldn't fail after those
right,
two
yeah,
things.
Okay, yeah, right.
That's it. I mean, like, you had me for the rest of the time. I don't care about the suits. I don't care about bad effects. Tyler Mayne showing up. You know, anything like that. Anyway, we're getting off topic. The topic is DC movie news. We love it. Let's move on now, because that's all we're going to say about movies. And in this all-musical episode, a live rendition of the TV Time theme. Let's see if everyone knows the words. Sing along.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV Time. Sing along with me this rhyme. Roxy Stryer's TV Time.
She thinks that the Flash is fine.
DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV Time!
Yes, Greg Berlanti, where you at? Okay, so it's TV Time. First of all, let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. The Flash musical episode.
I loved it.
What do we think?
It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah. Do you think... Here's the one question I have. I'm very curious. Do you think it was per Warner Brothers or CW that they couldn't sing in costume?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't put that together at all. That.
Nobody thought about that. Like you never saw Supergirl sing or the Flash
That's a good point.
I was wondering because of the modern GIF culture and everything, if maybe Warner Brothers didn't want like.
Well, they even said, "How do we never have?" Like when he said. How do we not already have a GIF of that?
Right.
Cisco even flat out said it. So did he say that? Yeah, he said, wait, Barry, you can sing? How do we not already have a GIF of that?
Oh, because I was wondering, I'm like, how do you not miss the opportunity to have them in their outfits? But, you know, this to me, like, at first I was like, oh, this is a throwaway episode.
I had the bar set very low for this one.
Did you think, spoilers, guys, UK, everyone, did you guys see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you think?
I thought it was really fun. I had a great time watching it. I thought we saw some legit musical performances. Jesse Martin.
Great talent.
Jesse Martin is great.
Oh, my God. You know,
he did Rent on Broadway, I think, for years.
I didn't know that.
And he was in the movie.
You know, the first movie musical I ever saw was Godspell with Victor Garber playing Jesus. So, I mean, that guy's been singing for 40 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, real talent. I will say from a musician standpoint, knowing all the songs except for the two originals.
Right.
I thought the two originals were perfect for the episode. It made me want more original music rather than the Guys and Dolls thing.
Right.
And, you know, I thought she did a nice job on Moon River. But I would have really... The quality of the original music was so solid. I wanted to see more of that.
Well, Rachel Bloom is so talented. Yeah. And so her doing Super Friends, that was the one that I really wanted to see. So that was the one
She wrote it?
She
wrote it. And it was... brilliant. And you could definitely feel the Rachel Bloom in it because there were even parts where it was like, oh my gosh, that was even delivered like how she would have in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Just little buttons of things that were just
She's the creator of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Yeah, she completely created Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is
I've never seen it, but I hear it's great.
Yeah, she's a great songwriter. Great songwriter and perfect for this. You know, and then the final song was written by Benj, the guy from La La Land.
Running Home to You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Running Home to You?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because when I saw it on the tape when he was going to play her to the CD or something, I thought it was going to be the Ozzy song, Mama Coming Home. That would have been awesome. What did you think?
I loved it. I'm actually a big musical fan.
Obviously.
So I had a really high bar also. I love like the musical episodes of shows like Scrubs. Uh-huh. To me has one of the best musical episodes.
Buffy.
Buffy, of course. My only complaint was not enough songs. To be fair.
I wish that there was more original.
There was the same amount of songs as they had in Scrubs. And Scrubs is a 22-minute show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the one thing where... like, there are moments even when they would start talking, I'm like, here it comes, here's the intro to another, and then they would just keep talking for 5 minutes, and I was like, wait, no!
Yeah, I do feel like that was kind of a missed opportunity because the world was set up, like, you have to fit all of the requirements of this, or you're going to die in this and die in real life. I think that was definitely an opportunity that they say, okay, well, we have to sing everything.
I mean, obviously, Jesse L. Martin was... amazing. And Victor Garber actually, he said he didn't want to, he demanded to be in the episode because he wanted to do a duet with Jesse L. Martin.
Wow. He got to sing in both shows this week.
He said, he's like, no, I need to be in this episode. I want to do a duet with him. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what I got to do. So that's what they did.
And they were together. Were they a couple?
With Barrowman popping in at the end.
Well, what was interesting was that you saw them say, you know, we can't be together. Our love is forbidden, right?
Yeah.
And you infer that it's racial, right? And then you see the two dads together.
Yeah.
That's not an issue. And you realize it's because they're the fathers of the opposing crime families. So I thought it tackled some fun stuff, some serious stuff kind of in a fun way.
Yeah.
If I got to be super picky, I would say that there was no... danger, you know, the villain.
Yeah.
It wasn't danger. It was just impish.
It was impish. It was totally like a Mixlepiddle kind of
thing.
That's
why I thought they should have just used, but.
Exactly.
They couldn't use the Glee guy.
But he was a Glee guy. Yeah, yeah. And I thought, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, I know this is like wrong to say whatever, but it's like Greg Berlanti is a gay guy. I've never met a gay man that doesn't love musicals. And he was like, fine, I'm giving you all your shows. Here's one for me. You know, one for me, 187 for you. But like.
Can I just say who the biggest surprise of the night was? The guy, I forget his character's name on Supergirl. He's the tech guy on Supergirl. What's his name?
Cisco.
Not Cisco.
On Supergirl.
On Flash.
On Supergirl. He came in.
Can you?
We're all good.
Win?
Toymaker's kid.
Win.
His voice is amazing.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I think the biggest shocker of that was that the end of the episode that they used the song to really tie something together that had been happening on the show.
And did you see it coming?
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either.
And I totally bought it.
And like the last minute too. And you're like, what?
Yep. I've been furious over the back and forth of that thing. I'm like, just whatever, stay engaged. Right. Who cares? You know, like if it could it help you from like Savitar. But I love that they broke it off and then did that again. It was
Flash, by the way, Barry. Kind of a dick this season. It's getting kind of annoying.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's finally starting to make some good decisions. It's just funny that it had to be in song form.
That can dovetail to...
He has a song in his heart.
What other shows did you see? Did you see Legends of Tomorrow? You caught up on that?
Yeah, all caught up with all of them.
I think that's been my favorite this season.
Legends of Tomorrow? I just love how bananas Legends of Tomorrow is.
That's why. And I feel like there's always so much for them to do. And because it moves on, you don't have to drag it on as much. I feel like there's just always different fun things you can have them doing because of the nature of the show. Mm-hmm. And I love Mick's character. It's been so much fun. Yeah, Rory, like Dominic Purcell is so good.
Oh yeah, he had a great line this week where he was like, he talked about the Spear of Destiny. Yeah. He's like, oh, it's really good to scratch yourself with.
Yeah.
He's like, you scratched your back with the Spear of Destiny? Yeah. He said, I didn't say my back.
Yeah.
and then Sarah just drops it.
Last week, he's like, yeah, you're my assistant, and Victor Garber's over here. He's like, you can't be serious. He's like, no, I am serious. Go get me a beer.
Go get me a beer.
Yeah. So that's good. And then, like, his character, actually, interesting stuff. Spoilers. Yeah.
And Snart is the thing I've missed.
Oh, yeah.
The most in Legends of Tomorrow.
They both have such a campy kind of, like, delivery, but they make it work so well.
Oh, absolutely.
Are they like that on Prison Break as well? Like, is it...
No, I think it's more serious.
Okay. I've never seen it. So what do you think for that? I'm wondering, because I know Prison Break is coming back, and I know actors can do multiple shows, but are we gearing up to see Rory redeem himself? Because at this point, he double-crosses the team, but you could tell he regrets it. If he's going to redeem himself, I don't see him just going back to the team. Are we seeing Rory about to go down in blaze of glory? Maybe. Rory in a blaze of glory?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a very drastic change to the lineup next season.
Well, from the beginning, they've said that Legends of Tomorrow would have a rotating cast, I thought, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we've kind of been expecting?
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Rory's down in a blaze of glory.
Oh, we got to pay rights for that one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Original music only.
Do we get like 5 seconds or something free?
I thought Arrow was really strong this week.
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren. Finally, you got the Dolph Lundgren fight I've been waiting for.
You had a great action scene. I thought you saw some of the best acting Stephen Amell has pulled off on Arrow in a long time.
That was torture. That scene was real torture. Did you get to see it? Did you see Arrow this week?
Okay.
Arrow was good this week.
Oh my God. That was rough. That was a really, really rough kind of episode.
And Chase completely sold me in this episode on him. You know, the whole thing. I don't want to spoil anything. So.
Oh,
I don't want
to. I really did like it. And I liked that his... See, the problem with these shows sometimes is, like, there's such a team. There's so many players.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that they got the team out of the way. Like, when
it's when they focus on one thing that's when you really get the highlight episodes that you're engaged the whole time.
Which goes back
to
the whole...
like, flashback.
Yeah, the 23 episodes is just insane.
It's too long.
It's just too many. And I get why they have to do it, because it becomes too expensive if you have to keep producing a show from scratch for 8 or 12 episodes.
Well, I have a solution for that. Just 6 musical episodes a season.
Just 6 musical episodes?
I'm just surprised that they don't break it up into, like, part A, part B, like a lot of other networks do, where they have the same order, but it's broken up so that there's a little bit more space in between so that the writers have a break.
More space, you mean actual time. Like
actual time.
Gotham has done that this year. Gotham's taking a lot of breaks, it seems like.
But I feel like they could do more, because it's been kind of... one of them will be gone on the CW, but you never know which one each week. Like, it's just like, look, we've got a lot going on. Like, one of them just isn't going to be here, but we're not going to tell you until the actual... It's like, just schedule it out. Have a break in between. Do part A, part B.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because this week was perfect.
I loved it.
I know we have to go soon, but so what about Supergirl? This week, have we seen Supergirl with Terry Hatcher and Hercules, Kevin Sorbo?
I would say I was not disappointed. I thought it was fun, but I just really dislike the whole Mon-El Her storyline, so I just kind of wish it was just gone.
I'm with you on that.
I'm really
good. I could be done with Mon-El, man.
Oh, it's done. I don't need frat
boy. Bring back Callista.
What about Wynn and his alien girlfriend, his alien con artist girlfriend?
I actually like that a lot. I love anytime they go to the bar. It reminds me of like the old Buffy and Angel episodes where it's just like, let's stick some random prosthetics on a dude's head and have him have a shoot pool. Yeah,
yes!
It's the best.
Oh yeah, that was I liked that storyline too. I actually liked Guardians fight scene in that kind of part when they confronted all those aliens.
I
that
did
was
too,
actually
and I'm not
good.
A crazy fan of the whole Guardian thing.
Well, I don't know that he needs to be Jimmy Olsen, but nobody seems to respect Jimmy Olsen in any universe anymore. So
no, my favorite moment is I think it was in the last episode where it had like the Zod style static on the TVs to warn of like the thing, and then they cut to Jimmy. And he has all the TVs behind him because he's in Catco, but he's in a tank top. And I'm like, he's at work right now. What are you doing? Like, I know the sun's out, but the guns don't need to be out, Jimmy. Like, relax.
Sorry, James. James. Evie Party 97. Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. Madam Gao is the best thing of Iron Fist. I don't want to crap on other shows, but this was the first Marvel Netflix show I wasn't a big fan of.
I haven't watched it yet because I'm afraid.
Listen, I know it's not our subject. I will just say it drops the ball in a way that, like, you know, Into the Badlands is amazing martial arts. For whatever you think of the show, it's like the martial arts should be better. Like, everything about it doesn't work as good as it should.
I
it's
just
a little
love
bit of a
there
bummer.
Are all these articles that are like, this is everything you need to know about this show without actually having to watch it.
And listen.
It's like, oh, ouch.
And listen, I don't want to be like snarky. I'm like super happy about all the stuff we're getting right now. I just feel like as fans, we say, hey, this is what we didn't like. We'll be back next time.
Yeah,
make it better. We just gotta let you know. I don't gotta like crap on all these people that work so hard to make these shows, and then as soon as like it's just that the bar has been set so high right now. And yeah. I think that Daredevil show is amazing. Like we love it all. We're huge fans of this stuff, and we want it all to succeed, guys. This was a really fun show. I didn't know what it was gonna be like when it got here. You know, with all this new energy in the room, but everybody seemed to have gotten along just fine. So, Bobby, let people know where they can find you and pimp something if you'd like to.
Yeah, check me out on Twitter, Instagram, at Bobby Bogner, and come see me play with the Bogner Brothers.
Oh, when are you playing next?
We're playing in a couple weeks, so just tweet at me and I'll get you the info.
All right, go to the show. They're great.
Thank you.
Elena!
Yeah, I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can also catch me back here tonight on AfterBuzz TV doing the wrap-up for Face Off. And I also do the radio drama RelativityPodcast.com.
Wow, that's cool. Where is that?
You can find it on RelativityPodcast.com. With Lee Shack, the person that I know who wrote for Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
Actually wrote this, so there you go.
Awesome. Paul?
You can catch me on Twitter at ThePaulPonte, also at SWG Podcast. My podcast is called The Screen Watchers Guild, thescreenwatchersguild.com. And if you go to the interviews tab, you'll hear an interview that I did with Johnny LaQuasto.
Dude, okay. So much freaking content for you people. How do you ever leave your house? Don't leave your house. Keep your pajamas on. Order Postmates and stay in because it's going to be a long night of listening pleasure. I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler on Twitter and Instagram. Find me on FX Movie Download. Eat my sausage at Doghouse. Wish Roxy Stryer well at Roxy Stryer. She's in Barcelona. At Mike Kalinowski, who's doing some stuff. And at Jay Quasto, who, you know, if nothing else, thank Johnny for giving us Paul, who's
Woo!
Awesome.
Thank
we'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.